Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Invite you to be seated. So on this festival of the Holy Trinity, we hear the first creation story in Genesis. And just a few words about this reading. Some don't realize that there are two distinct creation stories in Genesis. The first one we read here, and the second one with Adam and Eve, written at a very different time. And neither of them were written to be understood or read as history. That is, they weren't written to tell about the history of the beginning of the earth, but rather to tell about the character of God and God's intention for human beings created in his likeness. Very good. But in the end, what does a story of creation have to do with the Holy Trinity? It's appointed for this Sunday in particular. And it's not merely a description of God the Father as creator. Early Christians also found in this first creation story allusions to the Son and the Spirit. And Holy Trinity, by the way, or Trinity, the word Trinity, isn't found anywhere in Scripture. In this reading in Genesis, God creates by the word of his mouth, and God said. Word was another name for Christians and the gospel writers for Jesus, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the creation story also tells of a wind or a breath from God that swept over or brooded over the waters. And in Hebrew, the word for breath, wind, and spirit are the same word, ruach. So, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit created the heavens and the earth. An obvious Christian reinterpretation, but I think a brilliant one, because there in the beginning, Christians can see the triune God. Well, it doesn't take long to understand why the second reading and the gospel readings are included on Holy Trinity Sunday. Paul closes his letter to the sophisticated metropolitan church in Corinth with the apostolic or the Trinitarian greeting that we hear every Sunday: the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit. And in the gospel, we hear the final words of the risen. These are the last words of the gospel according to Matthew. This closes out the book. The final words of the risen Christ to his disciples in Matthew. Jesus' final encounter with them. I mean, can you imagine the disciples standing there? So death has already happened, resurrection has already happened. Standing on the hillside, trying to get this all down. They know he's leaving. Go and make disciples. Okay, they're like, okay, we can do that. We've got that. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, can do. And teach them to obey everything that I've commanded. Uh-oh. Everything you've commanded? Hey, Peter, can I borrow your notes? What's that all about? So put your pens and pencils down and listen, disciples. Jesus follows up. Here's the punchline. I am with you always to the end of the age. Don't worry. You don't have to take notes. And this promise, Jesus being with us, wasn't only given to the original disciples, but to all Christians in every time and place. You see, at baptisms, it's not merely the pastor who is the subject of the sentence, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." Jesus is really the one doing the baptizing. "I am with you always." And if you ever think to yourself, hey, and I hope this happens sometimes, "the pastor seemed to speak right to me this morning," that's really not my voice you're hearing in the end. More importantly, it's Christ speaking to you through my words. See, "I am with you always." And at the altar rail, it's not the communion assistants or the pastor who meets you in the bread and the wine. "I am with you always." It would have made more sense for Jesus to end on a command, not a promise. As in, "I am with you always. Now go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching." But instead we have the reverse. First the command, then the promise. First the command, something demanded of us. We hear and see clearly and realize that we can't fulfill, "go and make disciples of all nations." That's the uh-oh. Then the promise, because we can't, Christ promises to be with us and do it through and for us. And I think that humans would rather have it the other way around, so that we could claim some ownership. So that we can, well, I'm being a great Christian, a good Christian, better than other Christians or some Christians. What I mean is that if the command was last, then we could understand the Christian life to go something like this. God gives us a little spark, but we're responsible for building the fire and fanning the flames. Or God gives us the principles for life, and we follow them. If you have a God who ends with a command, then God's job isn't very difficult. God merely helps us to do the real work. But what if we can't do the work? What if we can't follow the principles? Which is why Christ's words ended with a promise. The final words of this worship service each Sunday also end in promise and not command. "Go in peace, serve the Lord," command. And then the implied promise, "thanks be to God," implied that God is the one who enables us to go in peace. God is the one who enables us to serve the Lord. Otherwise, in response to "go in peace, serve the Lord," we would say something like, "you betcha," or "amen." But instead, "go in peace, serve the Lord," we thank God. We don't have to worry. Jesus will work through us to spread the word about God's forgiveness. This year, with these readings, we can set aside all images and exercises for the Trinity. You know, God is like three parts of an apple, or like water in three states. Simply, with these readings this year, we can receive all the benefits that God gives as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Matthew helps us to do this as he ends his book the same way he began it. At the beginning of the book, which we read way back in December in Advent, the angel announced that Jesus would be Emmanuel, God with us, in Hebrew. And now, in the end, Jesus says, "I am with you, Emmanuel, always, to the end of the age." God, whose name in Hebrew scriptures, Yahweh, means "I am," the Creator who formed everything, "I am with you always, to the end of the age." And so we now sing a song about the holiness of the Trinity, how God's holiness is revealed in the last places that we'd look.